just so happens. You know how in Christianity things just so happen? We're in Psalms 31. And so I said, as Andy said, you can stay in the Psalms or you can go someplace else. I said, let's stay in the Psalms, because after you read this Psalm, you're going to see why. As we look at this Psalm, Psalm 31 is about God as our our rescuer, the God who rescues people. Have any of you ever been in a situation where you're rescued? I've had several, but one of the most dynamic ones for me was, as a young pastor, we were taking kids on canoe trips. And you always have about 7-8 canoes, and you'd always have at least a couple canoes with people that weren't very good canoers. And we're going down river, and at evening we came into an island to stay, and there was a fast current out here, and all of a sudden I look out, I get in, pull off, and all of a sudden I see two little girls, two sets of girls in a canoe, and they're going by. And if we don't get them stopped and pulled in, we're in trouble. So I wade in without my life jacket on. Now, I forgot to tell you, I'm not a good swimmer. Still not a good swimmer. But anyhow, I waded in without my life jacket on to grab the canoes to pull them in. I pulled them in, but the current took me. And as I go under, I come up the first time, and I see one canoe. And it's the least likely guy who could save you. And I go down the second time, and I figure, this is history. And as I come up out of the water, there is that canoe. He came over to me. And I'll tell you what, there was nothing more exciting to grab a hold of that canoe and get out. As we read this passage today, we are going to see how our God is a better rescuer. He's always faithful. He's always able. And we can depend on. So let's look at this passage. And we're going to do a little different. I'm not going to preach like I usually do, but I'm going to read through the scripture passages and parts of them, then we'll look at them. The first thing we're going to see is how David praises God and looks at his attributes. And then we're going to also see how David cries out for help. And then the last part of that, we're going to look at how he not only praises him, but then we're going to take a lot of time today for personal application. Let's look at Psalms 31. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's going to be on the screen here. I use the NIV. I'm sorry, that's old school. I know you guys use the ESV, but you can catch on, okay? Verse 1. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my refuge, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, O Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love. For you saw my afflictions and you knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of my enemies, but have set my feet on a spacious place. That's the first section of this. The second section is going to just be a repeat, but expounds on it. But as we look at this, I see one thing that David does. He acknowledges who God is, and he really starts to praise him. He sees who God is and what he can do. As you look in verse 1, he talks about God's righteousness. He's a righteous God, and that's the character of God. He's always right. He's always working things out. Verse 2 and 3, he talks about God is my rock, a solid place. When you want rescued, I was so glad to grab that canoe. That wasn't very solid, but it was much better than what I was hanging on to. And the thing is, God, though, he's our rock. He's a rock that we can hang on to. Verse 3 also says, he's my fortress. He's not only a solid place, but he's a safe place. That's our God. And then you see in verses 7 and 8, it talks about God being a caring God. He said there, he saw my affliction and my anguish, and he acted upon it. God, we have a personal God who knows you and knows me, but he wants to hear from us. Too often we turn it in. Let it out. David is crying out to God. And as he cries out to God, then we see him calling for deliverance. Go back and look at verse 1. He says, deliver me in your righteousness. He says, verse 2, come quickly to my rescue. So he was in a tough spot. And we also see him in verse 4, he says, keep me free from the trap that I am. The ESV says it a little different way. Keep me free from the net they have hidden for me. In other words, David is saying, there's a snare out there. Someone's trying to catch me. And Lord God, keep me out of that snare. Protect me from it. Free me from it, because I don't want to fall into that trap. And then he also says in verse 5, he says, deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. So we see him starting to talk about he feels trapped. But what does that look like? Let's go to this next section. That's verses 9 through 18. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eye grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, my years by groaning, my strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak because of all my enemies. I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I'm forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord, and I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant and save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. Do you see David doing the same two things again, right? He points out who God is, and then he really shares his own story and he shares his heart. As we see, he acknowledges who God is. He says, verse 9, merciful, gracious God. In other words, God who gives me what I don't deserve, gracious, or merciful, God who protects me from what I do deserve. So David is seeing his God, who is a God who reaches out and loves him deeply and cares for him deeply. He also says in 14, you are my God. In other words, he identifies, he's in a personal relationship with God. He's not out there by himself. He has a God who he can depend on. And also we see him say in verse 16, let your face shine on your servant. That goes back to Deuteronomy, where it's the blessing of God, let your face shine on us. So when God's looking on you, God's caring for you, God is reaching out, God is understanding, and he's blessing you. And David says, you're God who looks after me, who cares for me. And then finally in verse 16, he said that unfailing, steadfast love. One thing about our God, David's God and our God, is what? We have a God who loves us no matter what, right? It's unconditional, and it's steadfast. It's not up and down, up and down, up and down. Pastor Brett up there this week, when the last 3 weeks, as he's going through what he's going through at the church, he didn't have to say, does God still love me? He could look back and say, God loves me, right? And I can rest in that love. And see, this is what David's bringing out, that we have a God who we can trust in. And he's praising God for that. But do you see David also in this passage? He almost takes that idea from verse 4 of being trapped, and he expounds on it. Have you ever, any of you ever trapped an animal in a live trap? We have some furry friends, long-tailed furry friends, that always like to eat our corn in our garden. And I have to take care of them because I don't like to share my vegetables. I don't mind sharing with you, but an animal... So we catch them, squirrels in a trap. And the amazing thing, you catch them live, but they can live in that trap for a long time. But all you see them going back and forth, and running, and they're just running the life out of themselves, really. But what about David? You almost see this in David. Look at how he explains it in here. He says, my eyes are growing dim. Grief and sorrow have overwhelmed me. My life is consumed with anguish and groaning. See, this is what the trap has done to him. He's in a trap. He says, my strength is failing. My bones are growing weak. I have utter contempt from my neighbors. In fact, they treat me like a dead man walking. That's my enemies. They're out against me. And he says, because I'm in this trap, I hear whispers against me. And then, you know, as you're trapped, then it says what? Do you see there where it says there's terror on every side? Wow. Do you see how David feels so trapped, but yet he can come back and say there in verse 14, but still I trust in you, my Lord, my God. You are my God. Verse 15, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. And then verse 16, let your face shine on your servant and save me in your unfailing love. You see, here's a man who knows how to call out for rescue. And you see what God does? He rescues him. Because we see as he turns into the next passage, David goes into the last part of this passage. He just goes into praise about what God's done. Let's look at verse 19 through 24. How, and this is David just after he's talking about being trapped like that. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in sight of all on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. In my alarm, I cried out, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard me. You heard my cry for mercy when I called you for help. And then he says, love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong, take heart, and all you hope in my Lord, in the Lord. What's his first question? How abundant are the good things that you have? Do we understand how abundantly God has poured things out on us? Do we understand how abundant life we have in Christ Jesus? As you look at this passage here, let's just take a quick rundown. First of all, verse 1, we are in a righteous relationship with God, right? We have a righteous God and we can be in a right relationship. Is that right? And you can live in that and enjoy him. Secondly, we realize that God is our rock. He's our solid place. He's also our fortress. He's our safe place. When no one else is for you, God is still for you. When you feel all alone, you can still turn to the Father and he'll take care of you. We also realize the caring of God. He sees our anguish. He sees our struggles. He sees our hurts. He's merciful. He does not give us what we deserve. But he's also gracious. He gives us what we don't deserve. He lets his face shine upon us. He shelters us. And when you cry out for mercy and rescue, God responds. That's our God. And he's faithful all the time. In fact, the word says, none of his promises, his good promises, will ever fail. So, as people, when we see this, this helps us to understand that this is what God gives to those he rescues. And my question is, what part of that don't you and I need? Do you ever get down where you feel all alone? Do you feel trapped? Do you ever get to the place where you don't need the rescuer to walk beside you? That's our God, and he wants to do that. But more than that, we need to realize that what David is sharing is looking ahead to what? The gospel. Do you see how that fits right into the gospel? God, merciful, righteous, loving God. We created us. Who did what? Adam and Eve decided they could do it better. They decided their independence was more important than their obedience to be in a right relationship. And because of that, they sin. And because of sin, we are now trapped. If you do not know Jesus Christ today, you're trapped. You're trapped in the independent sin area. And because of the sin of man, man has tried many different ways to get back to that right relationship with God, but they can't. But God, and what? In His great mercy and love, sent Jesus Christ to die so that you and I might, through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, have eternal life. And that's for each one. And there may be someone here today, and you are here, and you say, well, I'm just testing this Christianity thing out. Do you know what? This is real. God wants you to be in that personal relationship with Him. And you can come to Him through Jesus Christ, and what you need to do is confess that, yes, I'm separated from you, God. Yes, I want to be in a right relationship. Yes, I will follow you. And in prayer, just invite Him to come and lead you. And I'll tell you what, you'll start a new life. That was the greatest rescue I've had. And that happened when I was age 11. And the guy was sitting beside me that night said, Moose, you're not that bad of a sinner. You don't need to be saved. But what I couldn't tell him is, you don't know all my sins. I needed a Savior. And God saved me. And you know what? That night when He saved me, He just took a burden of sin off my shoulders. And I was really forgiven. And I started that right relationship because I was rescued by a God, our rescuer. Many of us here in this group today know that personal salvation, right? Yeah. Your heads can move, yeah, huh? But here's a question that I want to ask. Are we living truly in that abundant life that God wants you to live? That abundant life where you know the joy of freedom in Christ? That abundant life where I'm not bound by something that's holding me back? Are you living in a life that where you really, as David was saying, do you sense God's face shining on you? Do you understand that you're in His fortress, that He's caring for you? Or is there something in your life that is still holding you back? Not that you're not a follower of Christ, but you're just caught up in a bondage that's holding you back. See, I think many times, and I know this to be for real, and just this week here, this situation in this church up here made me realize again that many times we have believers who are still ensnared in a trap. They're caught in a live trap, and they need Christ to set them free. Or as the ESV says, they're ensnared in a net. They came up around them. They can enjoy fellowship with God to a point, but there's something secret. And I think what it is, many times we fail to realize who really is the enemy of our soul. Who is that? You can answer the question. Who? Satan. It's a perfect Sunday school answer, isn't it? Satan. But do we understand how desperately Satan wants to destroy us? It's so easy to think, that person's my enemy or that person's my enemy. But really, as a follower of Christ, we have one enemy, right? It's Satan. And he says he's the father of lies. And what he wants to do is to get us to buy into his lie that it's better than what we could have. We also realize that he's here to steal from us and destroy us. And he wants to do that. And how do we then, as followers of Christ, really live in a rescued, free life where there's nothing holding us back? Well, you know, I think that one of the things is we see it in this passage. We start to see there's a couple ways that Satan traps us. And David brings it out. If you look back in verse 6, David says, I hate worthless idols. That's one of the first traps that Satan likes to use. An idol. What's an idol? Well, you say, well, we don't have these carved images. No. But But we have things in our lives that we let run us equal to or above Christ. And if we allow that to continue in our life, that will eat our lunch spiritually. And we can look at these worthless idols as some of us idolize that I'm self-made, I'm independent, I'm a self-made person. Or it can be an idol of comfort, or it can be an idol of power, or it can be an idol of control, or it can be an idol of pleasure, or it can be an idol of sex. It can be any of those things that we place. It's just a thing that God made and we make it a god. And we let it run our lives. And I'll tell you what, it can be a secret idol. Some of the people around you may be able to see, oh, there's something wrong there, but they can't put their finger on it. But David also goes one step further. Look at verse 23. In 23, he says, I got to go back here. 23, he says, love the Lord with all you faithful servants. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. So another trap of Satan is arrogance or pride. And arrogance and pride is one of those things that just kind of steps up. And God says here, he's going to pay that. He's going to punish that in full. And what are some things of arrogance? I say arrogance is a terrorist because he comes in many different forms. Arrogance could be, I can handle it. I don't need you, God. So we, as a believer, you're studying the Word and God tries to point out that secret sin to you. And you go and say, oh, God, you know, I got that in control. I'll take care of that. A little arrogant, isn't it? But it's very easy to do. And we do that. Or, no, God, my way is better. God brings it out very clearly and says, you know, this is some sin here you need to deal with. And you say, no, God, not now, some other time. Another type of pride or arrogance is, my sin is not controlling me. I'm still in control. I can still do that, and I have control of it. And you've heard that with people who have addictions, right? Very easily. I have that in control. But in reality, it's controlling everything they do. Or arrogance could be, my sin is not as bad as that person's sin. Because, see, if my sin's not as bad as someone else's sin, what can I do? I'm still all right. But that's arrogant. I'm judging the other person, and I'm playing God and saying my sin's not as bad. And as Scripture said, all sin is the same. Here's another arrogant statement. My sin's not hurting anybody. Here's another one that is very easy to fall into. I could never do that. Folks, pride comes before a fall. And if you would say, I can't do the sin that someone else can do, and you start being proud of that, guess what? You're headed down the wrong road fast. And so what we're seeing here is, if we're going to really be faithful followers of Jesus, we have to understand that we can be ensnared. And usually this is something we're keeping secret. It's a sin that will always have free control over you in your secret life. Let me let you in on a secret. This is a secret. A secret sin kept secret will always have control. A secret sin brought to the light of Jesus Christ is what? Broken. And we have to understand that if we think that we can live in, you know, Coley brought out earlier about our community. If you think you can live alone or you're an island to yourself in a community, guess what? That's a little arrogant. God tells us we need to live in a body. We need to be in a relationship. And another thing, I think it's very easy. We got to be more careful with what we say we can play with. Because sometimes that leads to a sin. I have four young guys. My grandson came to me about 3 months ago and says, hey, Papa, would you lead us Bible study? I says, yeah, we can do Bible study together. He says, can I bring three other guys? I says, yeah, let's get into Bible. So every Thursday night we have Bible study. It's a blast. And there are three young kids. What are they, 19, all 19, 19 or 20? And so the other day we were starting to talk about this, and they were saying, you know, boy, there's some things out there that really kind of can eat our lunch. They were talking about pornography, and they were talking about alcohol, and they were saying, you know, no, Papa. And they all call me Papa. I don't know why. Some will call me Moose, but anyhow, they were saying, why does that eat our lunch? And I said, because anything we get into like that and don't be honest with other people about, it's a secret sin. And once we get into a secret addiction where we're letting someone other than Christ or the Holy Spirit control us, where are we at? That's called sin. And folks, I'm trying to put my head around what Andy shared with me on Monday. I'm trying to put my head around this whole thing. Andy and Sarah were, and the O'Rourkes were very close friends with the whole family. And I'm sure they're trying to just put their head around this. And you go, how did this happen? And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. When we let a secret life live. And God will come to places and God will say, hey, Moose, for example, I'm just using myself. If I'm living a secret sin, God will say, Moose, you need to deal with this. And I came back. Oh, I can do that, God. I'll take care of it. God came back again. Moose, you got something you need to deal with. Oh, it's not as bad as so-and-so's. I can deal with it. And so finally God said, Moose, guess what? I'm going to let you have what you want. Is that scary or is that scary? God is releasing us and saying, okay, my judgment, I'll judge you, but you can have what you want. And I really think that's what happened with our friend here. God probably just said, okay, we'll let it go public. God says, and we'll take care of it. I'll deal with it. And so, I guess we need, with this passage here, we need to realize that we need a rescuer. How do we get rescued? Because, folks, let's be honest. There's some people here who's struggling with pornography, both guys and gals. I still haven't got that around in my head because we were always taught younger that we never had it, but it's very real. And guys and gals, we can't let that run us. There's other things that are very easy to fall into. And how do we find a rescuer? Well, David made it very clear. David showed us how to get a rescuer. Because many times when we are working through it in our own, we come to sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, you do it and you say, oh, I was wrong, God. I won't do it again. Oh, I was wrong, God. I won't do it again. But you know what happened there? You're getting into a cycle where the sin is still controlling you. You're not rescued. And what we see in the scripture, David found rescue, and he said it. He said, verse 4, keep me free from the trap that's set for me, for you are my refuge. Now here's the answer. Into your hands I commit myself. Deliver me, O faithful God. If you're struggling with something like this today, you have to realize that we all in this group have sin, right? We all have clay feet, right? And you don't have to look better than me. The more important thing is, am I being totally open to my God so that there's nothing between me and my God? And so how do we live this out? How do I commit my into your hands as the psalmist says, I commit my spirit. Deliver me, O Lord. I think this is what he's saying. We need to call out for rescue as though your life depended on it. Back to my story. I yelled for Darren to come, and I didn't expect him to come to rescue me. But I yelled. As though my life depended on it, because it did. When I swim, Cheryl will tell you, I sink like a rock. They drug me off the bottom in swimming lessons. That's how bad of a swimmer I am. So the fact is, I cried out as though my life depended. Guys and gals, if we cry out to God to rescue as though our life depended on it, guess what? God will hear our prayer, and God will rescue us. But as you're crying out, then we also need to commit ourselves to God's way. And that means that we have to say, yes, this is sin. Yes, we want to repent of that, and we want to turn from what it was, from going this way, to where you want us to go, God. And when I commit my spirit into your hands, God, I'm going to do it your way and your way only. And if it's a secret sin that you're struggling with, you commit it to God. And if you have, you're still struggling, you go to a brother or sister who you trust and say, hey, would you walk with me? Would you walk with me? Because I need someone to help me be accountable. I have right now, I have four guys who I'm totally accountable to. They can walk into my life at any time and say, Moose, why did that happen? I need it. But that keeps me from being out there where I can destroy myself. Our secret sins will destroy us. It may not take away our salvation. It probably won't take away our salvation, but it's going to destroy everything else that goes with it. And then, if you need more help after that, then you go and get godly help as needed. We don't sit back and say, oh, it'll be right. All right. God is our rescuer. Will you call on him? Now, I know, folks, this is hard stuff. But I'm sure, as in my own life, I've had to deal with arrogance in my own life. I've had to deal with secret sins in my own life. And I know that by coming before God and coming clean and crying out for rescue, guess what? God rescued me. And when I followed the truth, it was though God was doing surgery on me. And it hurt for a little while, but it brought complete healing. But when I bought the lie, it was though it was getting a painkiller. And it felt all right for today, but guess what? There were side effects that just kept going on and on. So as we close today, I have two questions. Number one, is there anyone here who is not in a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ? That's the biggest rescue. God's our rescuer. He wants to rescue you. And if you're that situation, call out to him in prayer. And then talk to some of the people here, because they'll walk you through that. But the second thing, the question is, do you have a secret that I need to know about? I got hit in the stomach with this when I heard about it, and Cheryl, we talked about it. The next day when I was going to work, Cheryl, I got up. I'm an early bird. I got up to go to work. Cheryl said, how are you doing? I said, terrible. And I looked to her and I said, Cheryl, I want you to know I have no secrets. And she looked at me and says, Dan, I have no secrets. Wow. My question to you guys and gals, is there a secret sin that is holding you back from walking in freedom in Christ that he wants to give you? You have to realize if you continue living in it, it gives Satan a foothold to continue doing his work so he can keep you there. But if you are willing to come and say, Lord, I need a rescuer. I need a rescuer. Jesus wants to rescue me. Guess what? He'll hear you and he'll rescue you. Then you need to take the steps of repentance and maybe the step of talking to someone else who's safe and start moving ahead. What we want to do today is close in prayer. And as we close in a time of prayer, just going to be silent prayer. Because if God's speaking to your heart, you know what he's talking to you about. Let's deal with it. This isn't a day where this is a day where we really have an opportunity to again come back and say, I heard from God, and God wants to transform us. Let's pray. Give us a few moments of silence, then I will lead out. Father God, I thank you that you are our rescuer, that you've rescued us through Jesus Christ, that you've given us an opportunity to come and walk in newness of life, in an abundant life that is overcoming. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, for your willingness to keep and promise to keep each and every one of your promises. I thank you, Father, for what your Holy Spirit is doing in each one of us here. And Father, you know the ones here who need to be drawn, come to you for the first time. Lord, draw them to yourself. Also, Father, you know those of us who are struggling with a secret sin, that we're struggling and we're still caught in a bondage. We're still caught. And Lord, we really need you to rescue us. Father, we just have enough Christianity or enough walk with you that we're in still in that live trap, and we want to be set free completely. Lord, and you know what we need. Father God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to drive these truths home. And Father, if there's anyone here today who is caught with, is struggling with a secret sin, Lord, I pray that you would give them the courage to cry out to you, doing it such a way, whatever it takes, so that they might be free in you and they might return from that sin and turn to you. Father, I also pray that you would help them to open up to a trusted fellow believer if they need someone to walk with them. And Lord, not keep it to themselves. Father, I just pray that there be real revival in our midst because we're willing to say, yes, Lord, to whatever you're saying to us. Thank you, Father. Lead us now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.